Okay, welcome everybody. Nice to have you, and great to be back after a little bit of a break from teaching. And so we are in the period between between Pesach and Shavuot, and it's customary to learn Pirkei Avot from Pesach. Some go to Shavuot, some just to the summer, some study all the way to Rosh Hashanah. And we're also in the period of Sirat Ta'omer, which is the period of time where we are traditionally experiencing a period of mourning for the students of Rabbi Akiva, who died during this period of time. And the Gemara tells us that the reason they died is Shelo Nahagu Kavod Ze Bazeh, that they did not treat each other with respect. We're not going to get into what that means, because it's not so easy to understand that all these students would die for that reason. But we are going to combine the study of Pirkei Avot with we're in this period of time, as I mentioned, with a discussion of perhaps an element of how some people did not show some other people kavod, and perhaps a way to remedy that, or a mindset that we can develop to help us remedy that. So we need to start with a bit of history. So and a question, has anyone here heard of Pinchas Kahati? Okay, so Pinchas Kahati is most well known for being the author of something called Mishnayot Mivuarot, which is a commentary and elucidation of all of Mishnah. Many, many shul libraries have these. You may have seen them and not realize what they are, but if you've ever seen this Mishnah, the commentary is by Pinchas Kahati, and also more recently it's been translated into English. Pinchas Kahati was born in 1910, and he died in 1976, and he was born in Poland. His parents perished in the Shoah. Pinchas Kahati made Aliyah in 1935 or 1936. It's unclear. He studied math and physics and religious philosophy and Kabbalah at the Hebrew University. He was not able to continue his studies because of financial reasons. And then he went to work as a teller, as a bank teller in Bank Mizrahi. And I always found that so interesting that this gentleman, he had smicha, he was ordained as a rabbi, but didn't practice as a rabbi, wrote what may be, besides the classical commentaries, and maybe even including some of them, one of the most, if not the most often and well-known elucidations and commentaries on the Mishnah. And my teachers who introduced me to Kahati used to make a big deal out of the fact that he was a bank teller, right? They were telling us that, see, you could be a bank teller, you could be a doctor, a lawyer, a plumber, and anything you want, and also be a Talmid Chacham, right? And also be a Torah scholar. And that's Pinchas Kahati. He was very much connected to the Mizrahi movement, to the religious Zionist movement, actually to the Hapoel Mizrahi, which is sort of the, back in the day, sort of the socialist arm, if you will, of the Mizrahi movement. When he was younger, he was very involved in Bnei Akiva, and he used to write booklets, training booklets for Bnei Akiva. And eventually he came upon this idea to write a daily brief commentary on the Mishnah of the day. There's a practice to study one Mishnah a day. And eventually he compiled them into booklets. And then eventually those booklets were published into the full set of Mishnayot that we have today. So that is a little bit of the history of Pinchas Kahati. It had a tremendous impact on the study of Mishnah and made Mishnah very, very accessible to people who had a command of modern Hebrew. If you think about Steinsaltz, what Steinsaltz did for the Talmud, so way before that, Pinchas Kahati did it for the Mishnah, and then eventually it was translated into English. So it's an incredibly important and influential work. With that in mind, we're going to look at one Mishnah of Pinchas Kehati, one commentary that he wrote, and the firestorm that developed from the commentary that he wrote. I'm going to share my screen. Okay, so this is the first parak of Pirkei Avot, the second Mishnah, a Mishnah that you may be familiar with. Shimon HaTzadik Hayami Sharei Knesset HaGedola Hu Haya Omer. So Shimon HaTzadik was one of the last of the men of the Great Assembly. The Great Assembly is also an interesting and a little bit of a mysterious body historically. It's unclear exactly who they were, when they operated, what they did. There's a traditional view and an academic view. Anyway, Shimon HaTzadik was a member of this group, one of the last of this group, and he said this: Al Shlosha Devarim Ha'olam Omed. The world rests or depends upon three things: Al HaTorah, V'Al HaAvodah, V'Al Gemilut Chasadim. On Torah, on Avodah, which is here translated as temple service, sometimes it's translated as Tfilah. We're going to get to another translation of it in a moment, and Gemilut Chasadim, acts of kindness, translated here as piety. Truth is, acts of kindness is, I took this from Sefaria, acts of kindness is probably better. Okay. In Pinchas Kehati's commentary and elucidation of the Mishnah, he translates Avodah, he offers three translations of what Avodah means. One, by merit of the sacrificial service, and he quotes some verses to, and this is not his view per se, this is the view of many of the classical commentaries, that the world depends on the temple service. The second is another interpretation, is that Avodah refers to general observance of mitzvot, right? Like in the Haggadah, right, the Rasha, the son, the wicked son says, Ma ha'avodah hazot lachem, what is this service to you? So it could be that he's asking, what are all these mitzvot? What do you care about them? So one translation of Avodah is the Beit HaMikdash, the service in the Beit HaMikdash, and the other is the actual observance of mitzvot. And now comes along Rav Kehati, and he offers another interesting explanation. He says this: still others assert that Avodah refers literally to physical work like plowing, sowing, and reaping, through which man becomes a partner of the Holy One, blessed be he, in the work of creation, as it is said, which God created to do. Which means that God created so that man can continue to do, i.e. to populate the world and to refine it. And he quotes Sefer HaMaor in the name of Lev Avot. He's not coming up with this on his own. He quotes someone else. So this commentary, maybe it has, you realize that, caused a firestorm, right? How could it be that physical labor ranks alongside with Torah and Gemilut Chasadim? Right? How could it be that plowing and sowing and reaping or plumbing or investment banking or lawyering or doctoring, whatever it is, right? How could it be that those things rank along the same lines as Torah and Gemilut Chasadim and can be credited, right, with the world being able to exist? Now, from a Zionist perspective, this makes perfect sense, especially from Rav Kehati's generation, the early Zionists in the 30s, pre-state. It was all about coming to the land and working the land, right? Ben-Gurion, making the desert bloom. That's what it was about. But you could also imagine that amongst traditionalists, this commentary did not sit well. And here comes the firestorm that we're talking about. I'm going to share with you a few snippets of things published about the Kehati and whether or not it's even proper to study his commentary. Now, just remember, this is a man who was observant, was ordained, was a shomer Torah u'mitzvot, right? Observance of Torah u'mitzvot his entire life. And he wrote this commentary on the Mishnah. Now, how did I come to this? Well, some of you know, unfortunately, my father passed away a little over a week ago. And during the period of time of mourning, the Torah that one is allowed to study is limited. One is really only supposed to study Torah that is connected to mourning, the halachot of mourning, or the book of Eov, the book of Job, or Echa, Lamentations, right? The sad Torah, right? So I was looking through a collection of journals that I have, trying to find if there were any essays in there about mourning. It's a journal I hadn't had a chance to read in a while, so I figured I would use this opportunity. And I came across this article, whether one is allowed to study the Mishnayot with the commentary of Rav Kahati. And since it's customary to study Mishnah in memory of the deceased, I thought this was close enough to Avelut permitted Torah, and I decided that it was going to be one of the articles I read over my the Shiva period. So it's chock full of fascinating things, and we'll start here on the bottom of this page, page 20. If you're wondering why this is page 20, because this is just a document I'm putting together of the most interesting tidbits of commentary on Pirkei Avot that I could find. I started this project a few weeks ago, and so this is one of the elements of it. So in this article, it quotes a Rabbi Yitzchak Ratzabi. I don't know much about him other than he is a well-respected posek in the Sfardi community. Okay? And he's giving a shiur, and he says as follows. This is just the name of the shiur. I'll put it in bold. He says, "Litzarenu harbe gam einam yodim legabe hamishnayot hamivuarot shel Pinchas Kahati." Many people do not know about the commentary of Pinchas Kahati. Shu adam she'eno mikubal b'machane kodshenu. Okay, he is a person who is not accepted in our holy camp. I guess the Svardi Haredi camp, right? He's not accepted in our holy camp. That's what Rav Ratzabi says. Remember I said we're going to talk not only about the study of Mishnah, we're also going to talk about this notion of Sinat Chinam, of just not liking people or hating people for no reason. Listen to this. He says, we don't know, he's not part of our camp. Amnam, lo badakti et hasfarim shelo. I've never checked out what actually says in his books. Aval hadavar yadua liyodim shumichutz lamachaneh. But it's known to those who know that he is outside of our camp. Lachain, ein li safek, I have no doubt. Again, even though I've never seen what he wrote, I have no doubt. Ki beperusho hu hichnis divarim mimkorot lo tovim. Since he's a Zionist and he doesn't come from our camp, I know that he must include in his commentary, he must use sources in his commentary that are lo tovim, not good. Ani omer, that's what I say. Ani omer kach, that's what I say. Again, mibli livdok zot, without checking this. At least he's honest. Right? I've never met someone who's willing to be so sure of something without having done any due diligence, right? The guy's very confident in himself. I've never seen what he said, but I'm sure of this. Ella biglal etzem hadavar shehu nimtza b'chevra kazot im deot keilu. But the very fact, the simple fact, that he is a Zionist makes it clear to me that he must have written things in his commentary that are not kosher. And therefore, one should not learn his commentary. So when I read this, I it's hard for me to imagine, right, an expression of dismissal of, we'll use a modern word, of canceling someone, right? But here he's being canceled without the canceler having any firsthand knowledge of what he said. But since he's just a member of a certain group, automatically he is treif. And then he tells a story that when the Chafetz Chaim came to his town, Rav Pinchas Kahati did not go see the Chafetz Chaim. Not sure if that story is true or not, but that's the story he told. And then he writes, Shomer nafsho yirchak mikol hasvarim vasofrim shen mikatnei emuna. Those who protect their souls should stay away from the books of these people who are of little faith. So, in this article about whether or not you should study Kahati, this is one of the sources that was brought by Rav Ratzavi, who says, you're not allowed to, but I have no idea why, other than the fact that he's a Zionist. Brian, go ahead.
Rabbi, it says 2016. Is this from 2016, or is this Ratzavi from a while ago as well?
He wrote this in 2016. He's a contemporary. He's alive. Yeah. Okay. Remember, Kahati only died in the 70s, so Kahati is also essentially a modern figure. Okay. Then I found this other sort of poster where the question is asked, Mishnayot Kahati b'chol bayit Yehudi, right? Should these Mishnayot with this commentary be in every Jewish home? That's the question. It's sort of a rhetorical question. And I highlighted a few things. Mihu Mechabro, who wrote this? Tzioni Muvhak, an established Zionist, Talmid HaTachkimoni Bevarsa, a student of the Tachkimoni, which was like sort of the equivalent of the modern Orthodox day school in Warsaw. Chaver Be'argunim HaTzionim Datiim Shomer HaDati, and a member of the Zionist movement, HaChalutz HaMizrahi, Ad Shenasa Chever HaNalat Kenofiyot Elu. He became a leader in these Zionist groups. Okay. So now, by the way, this is not complimentary to him. Right. So he's a Zionist. And then it says, and who published? Now they're going after him even by who published his book. And since it was published by Heichal Shlomo, which is a Zionist publishing house, it also indicates that he is treif. And then finally, it says, Dugma mi perusho. Let's have an example of something he wrote. And he gives the example of the Mishnah that we studied. Pirkei Avot, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel, Al Torah, Al Avoda, Val Gmir Chasadim. The world stands on three things, Torah, Avoda, Gmir Chasadim, Avoda, Avodah Mamash, like I showed you, real work. You're going Harisha, Zriya, Ktsira, plowing, reaping. Ukayotzi Bazeh Kilomar. Now listen to this. Shitato Shitat Torah Va'avoda Kvar Zachta Lahaskama Mishimon HaTzadik. It's as if Rav Kahati is saying, we go back to the Mishnah, that Shimon HaTzadik, who says that the world stands on three things, and that Rav Kahati, who translates avoda to be referring to actual work, indicates that Rav Kahati is trying to pull a fast one on us. He's trying to show us that the rabbis of the Mishnah are giving a stamp of approval to Zionism, right? Because if Zionism is about plowing and reaping and harvesting, and Shimon HaTzadik says the world depends on that, according to Rabbi Kahati, then he must be trying to convince us that Zionism has a stamp of approval from Shimon HaTzadik, and that's obviously a terrible thing because Zionism is terrible. And then he says, Mishnah at Kahati, Mechutz Labayat Yehudi. Therefore, we should take out the Mishnah at Kahati from any Jewish home. So you have these two sources because of who he was, and one person without ever reading his own writing, because who published his work, and because of one of the commentaries on the Mishnah has discredited and disqualified Rav Kahati from being talked about in polite Orthodox company, right? He's a persona He's a persona non grata. And it's signed, of course, anonymously by Shlomei Emunei Yisrael Shel HaYahadut HaCharedit HaSfaradit. Right, those who are in keeping with the Jewish faith from the Haredi, the Sephardi Haredi group. So it makes me suspicious that maybe it's Rav Ratzabi who's behind this as well, because he's also a Haredi from the Sephardi community. It's just a fascinating little piece of history. Miriam, Ben, did you want to say something? I see you guys lit up.
I was going to ask, so theoretically, let's say this is the Shas people, right? How can you say you're a Zionist and so we can't listen to what you say, but yet you vote in Israeli elections so that you can have all, you know, have your schools be funded in the way in which you want it to be?
Yes.
And we were actually just having a very a similar conversation last Shabbat about not working and about you know, if you consciously self-impoverish it, I don't know. And anyway, yeah. That was just
Israeli politics.
Yeah, in Israeli politics. So
yes, that's a great point. Yes, we'll call it an inconsistency or a pinch of hypocrisy. Yes. So I love finding these sort of historical tidbits. Especially when I've been studying Kehati as long as I could remember. This is my bar mitzvah set. My youth director got me the full set of Kehati for my bar mitzvah. My youth director, by the way, was Richard Joel, who went on from becoming my youth director to becoming the president of Yeshiva University. So I have no idea what that says about me or the kids in our youth group, but that's also sort of fun, a fun fact. Anyway, so that's one side of this. But then I wanted to show a different side of this in terms of the remedy, right? So here we see what I would call just unbridled sinat chinam, right? For no reason, especially Rav Ratzabi at the beginning. I've never seen what he wrote, but just because he's a Zionist, right? It's hard to read, right? If you think about it, it should hurt us in our kishkas, right? That this type of attitude exists, that just because you're a member of a certain group, whatever you say is treif. It's possible that people say things which are incorrect, misguided, not traditional, but at least engage with the material. And don't cancel someone just because of what shul they belong to. But let's look at another take on this. We have this very interesting Shevet HaLevi. This is Rav Vosner. Rav Vosner is a Haredi posek. But he writes as follows. Beautiful idea. Uba'avonotenu harabim anu edim kayom l'shalach madanim ben achim naseh min hagra bekamak tzavot me'umutenu akdosha. He says, and because of our sins, we are now witness to battles between brothers. This custom has developed in certain circles, he says, shekol mi she'eno mikabel hashkafat yachid ochug, that anyone who does not accept a particular philosophy of an individual or a group, near daf al tzavaro, is chased up to their neck, meaning they're canceled, or maybe even worse. V'shofchim damo bekama minei midanim u'lashon hara, and their blood is spilt by insults and gossip and lashon hara. V'shochichim, this is the beautiful part, and this is the remedy. V'shochichim sheze ritzon Hashem, Sheyihiyu deot shonot v'hashkafot shonot v'olam. It's God's will that there be different opinions and different philosophies in his world. Right? From Rav Ratzabi's perspective, it's all got to be one line. Comes along the Shevet HaLevi of Vosner, again, who was a Haredi, he wasn't a Zionist. But he says there are different hashkafot, and that's God's will. So beautiful. Everyone serves God in their way. He says, I have no idea that this approach, where people cancel others and spread rumors and spread lashon hara about them because they're not part of their camp, is one of the reasons why Mashiach has not come, why we have not been redeemed. The baseless hatred which caused the destruction of the second temple, you're still dancing among us. And no one says, go away. And this is the worst. We dress it up as if it is a mitzvah. It's just plain old hatred, but we dress it up as if it is for the sake of God. This is one of the most beautiful expressions of appreciation of fellow Jews that I have ever seen. So beautiful, and that's the remedy. We're just about at a half hour, and I try to keep these classes to a half hour because I know it's very late. This is now an article from an important posek in Israel, Rav Barada, I think that's how you pronounce it, also on the same question. And he says, first of all, I remember when I was a kid growing up, 10, 12 years old, I would study Kahati all the time with my father, who he says was a great Gaon and great Tzaddik, and no one raised an eyebrow. No one made any statement about it. He says, then I went to yeshiva. And when I went into the yeshivas, that's when I started hearing about this. And he writes as follows. Lo hevanti al mahe medabrim. I had no idea what they were talking about. Ulbasov kishin odali kol ki kol hahiman ut milmod perusho hu mishum shumi zerm hamizrahi. And then when I learned that the only reason people don't learn his work is because he's a Zionist, and his philosophy does not match up to the yeshiva world, I simply could not accept those things. Accept the truth from whoever says it. Their hashkafot don't matter. As long as they are right. He goes on along these lines to quote a whole bunch of other great Gedolim who studied Kahati. And it's funny, then the author of the article I was reading notes that Rav Ratzabi's own teacher held Rav Kahati in high esteem. But that must have been lost on him. Here's a funny line at the end. Aval mifitzei hashmuot raot lo shatu libam limakor divarav v'histiro o mibarutam o bekavona she harav Pinchas tzien she makor haperushu mesechet lev avot. When they quoted Rav Kahati's commentary on that avodah means work, they left out the fact that Rav Kahati himself quoted a more traditional commentary as the source of that idea. And he says they left it out either mi barutam, either because they're ignorant or on purpose. Neither of them are good, right? If you're going to quote someone and take issue with what they said, at least quote their source. But either they did not know the source because they are ignorant themselves, or they left it out on purpose, which is maybe even worse. And he quotes a whole number of other sources that back up this idea of the importance of work and why that was part of the original plan. And I just want to show you one other idea. I have a few different ways to a few different sources to make the point. I'll just read one. So we've seen from Rav Vosner this beautiful notion that God created the world with different hashkafot, different approaches to Torah, And we should accept the truth from whoever says it. And it's a terrible thing if we cancel someone just because of the camp that they come from. There's a very interesting sefer called Emunat HaChinuch. This is not what I wanted to show you. I wanted to show you this one. Very interesting sefer called Shevet Musar, written by Eliyahu ben Shlomo Avraham HaKohen. He died in 1729. And he writes something really interesting. And it's an element of this. He writes, I'll tell you outside without reading the whole thing. He says that some people are going to be attracted to one approach to Torah, and some people are going to be attracted to another approach of Torah, some people and a third and a fourth and a fifth, right? There are so many. There's Kabbalistic, there's more Pshat, there's Lumdus, there's more straightforward Halacha. There's so many different ways to learn and so many different approaches we can take. And we're all different. Our neshamot, our souls are all different. And we're all going to be attracted to a different type of Torah. And that's a good thing. Rav Kook writes, it's like different types of food. We have taste buds. And some of us like sweet, some of us like savory. And just like God made our taste buds different, he also made our Torah taste buds different. That certain types of Torah appeal to us more than other types of Torah. And Rav Eliyahu HaKohen, he writes... He writes something similar. He has a really interesting point. He says, by the way, he says, you could read one idea in one book and it won't appeal to you, but you could read the same idea in another book, but since it's stated differently in a different style, it appeals to you, because that's the type of style that your neshama, that your soul is connected to. He says, or, this is really interesting, a little off topic, or it could be that you're the author of the book, that you wrote that book in a previous incarnation of yourself. And now you're reading a book that you wrote that you don't even know you wrote. And that's why it appeals to you. I thought that was cute, a little off the beaten path. But his main point is that our souls are all different and we're all attracted to different type of Torah. And so maybe someone is attracted to an approach of Torah that is Zionistic and focuses so much on Eretz Yisrael and the important, and that's Rav Kahati, and some of us are connected to that. The point is, we should be grateful and embrace. We live in a golden age of Torah where there's so much Torah available in Hebrew and English, all different language, right? And we could all find some type of Torah that appeals to us. And if it doesn't appeal to us or it comes from a different camp than ours, we shouldn't badmouth it, besmirch it. We should just move on to a different type of Torah and say we're going to learn something else. So this was this class was operating on multiple levels. It was a class on Pirkei Avot, on how to understand this Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. It was a class on the dangers of Sinat Chinam, right? That just because someone's not from our camp, we're going to cancel all of their Torah. And who knows how many students may have come to really appreciate Mishnah had they been given a chance to learn Rav Kahati. But because he was taken off the shelves in those schools, they didn't connect to Mishnah. Who knows how many students that happened to. So it's a discussion of Mishnah, discussion of Sinat Chinam, and a remedy. The remedy is to realize that God put many different hashkafot on this earth, many different philosophies, many different approaches. And we go towards the one that attracts us most. And those who have a different philosophy, okay, that's a different philosophy. You know, there are lots of shuls, lots of yeshivot, lots of approaches to go to. We could be positive about our own approach without having to be negative about others. So that's what I wanted to share. I know I was speaking a mile a minute, and there wasn't a lot of time for other people to speak, but I'm open for comments or questions if anyone wants to add anything in at this point.
I was just going to say that the idea of like different approaches to Torah actually kind of meshes well with the fact that Kahati is a Zionist, because Zionism also has, you know, you have religious Zionism, you have sort of the socialist secular Zionism, and like it works because it's all these different approaches coming together in that.
Right.
experiment.
Right, exactly. Right, that's Israel. Right, that's really what Israel is. That's great. Thank you.
I also had a question while I have the floor. I mean, ha'avodah, like in its most literal translation, is work, right? I mean, that's, or you know, I know it's I've always read it as temple service, but avodah is work, right?
In modern Hebrew, I think in Mishnaic Hebrew, it probably more so refers to tefillah, to prayer. Or maybe a second place or tied for first would be the Beit HaMikdash, the service in the temple. In modern Hebrew, it's work, which is what led some of the detractors to get all upset without realizing that there are traditional commentaries and other sources which sort of support the idea of the importance of work. Right? What, for example, one of the commentaries says the pasuk that tells us to rest on Shabbos also commands us to work for 6 days, right? Sheshet yamim tavod, 6 days you should work. Some people see that as an obligation. And v'yom hashvi'i, and on the seventh day, you should rest. They're both commandments. Working and resting are both commandments. So so the attack on him is unfortunate because it's purely based on ideology, and it's also unfortunate because it ignores sources that really back up what Rav Kahati is saying. All right, everyone. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for coming on. I didn't see.
Thank you. Sorry, I was late.
No, it's okay. Thanks for.
You know, I was just going to add. It's like an age old story, though. But it never changes. I mean, a lot of people do change the narrative, but. I'm thinking back to my days, even at Hillel Academy here. And we were taught, you know, there are East Siders and West Siders.
Right.
And never
right.
The twain should meet.
Yeah. You know, we have to just move away from that and just celebrate who we are and be positive and proud about a hashkafa that we represent. And be happy that there are others who don't have a place. And just, you know, celebrate, and that's what a community is, right? It's easy to be a community if everyone's the same. The test of a real community is how we treat and how we get along with and cooperate with people who we have hashgafic differences with, and this is to the right and to the left, right? It goes both ways. It's so important. And this is the time of year we're supposed to be focusing on it.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks for joining. I wish everyone a happy rest of the evening and an early Shabbat Shalom. I'm going to stop the recording now if anyone wants to say anything.